because special furniture needs to be ordered and it does take time, so don't delay. In order to give our customers the largest selection to choose from, Wendell's has doubled the size of our Colchester store, making Wendell's the largest furniture store in Vermont. Wendell's has even developed their own mattress line, cutting out the middleman, so you pay about half the price the other mattress stores charge. Customers tell us Wendell's has the best selection, the friendliest staff, and the most polite delivery guys. Go online to read the reviews and testimonials so you know for yourself. Come visit Wendell's Furniture and enjoy peaceful shopping, nice people, and an endless supply of free chocolate. The Columbus Day sale is going on now at Wendell's Furniture next to Costco. Wendell's Furniture!
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. A little rain out there again today, but, we got an action-packed program for you, so that'll make up for it. Coming up on the program today, we do have a full lineup for you. Coming up at about 10:30 this morning. Yesterday, we spoke with Tom Kelly, who's the incumbent Washington County State's Attorney. We're going to speak today at 10:30 to Scott Williams, who's his Democratic challenger. Also coming up in our second hour this morning, we'll venture up to Burlington. We'll give you a preview of the upcoming Vermont International Film Festival. Later this hour, we're going to head over to Albany, where there is a conference going on white nose syndrome. That's the affliction that's been decimating the bat population here in Vermont. We've got a really interesting expert that'll be joining us for that. Your phone calls throughout, welcome at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. We begin this morning with the very deep question of whether or not animals go to heaven and whether or not animals have a soul. This was somewhat prompted by, I mentioned this yesterday, that our family dog, Buddy, passing away on Friday. We had to put the poor boy down. And as is sort of typical in my life, right at that same time, across my email came this opportunity to talk to Mike Neal, who's a senior chaplain out in Washington State with the state police out there and also with the Fish and Wildlife Department. Worked for the Fish and Wildlife Department for more than 30 years, and he's also a novelist, and he's kind enough to join us live on the line this morning. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. So this work that you got into as being a chaplain, you kind of got into this through a really just terrible tragedy. Talk about your daughter, Suzanne.
Yeah, well, it was 06, and gosh, she was just the she was everything to us. 27-year-old, had just gotten married 2.5 years prior. Met with her on the weekend before that Wednesday that she was killed on her bicycle, and said, you know, how her and her husband are start going to try to have a baby, and so it was. It was a kick in the guts. You know, it either kills you or else you find a way to springboard off of it and use it for a greater purpose. The most common question is why, right? Why me? And I decided that wasn't the question that God was going to answer, but the question really was, what now? And then he made it very clear through a series of events that I was to become a police chaplain, which I did, and I started a chaplaincy with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I then, in about 3.5 years ago, was asked to be the chaplain for the state police, which I formed a joint chaplaincy. But I can tell you this, and I don't know how I can say this or where this comes from, but the events that happened to us 8 years ago actually turns out were the best thing that ever happened in my life. Not because it wasn't the greatest tragedy. I didn't cry a bucket of tears. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was like trudging to a mountaintop in a freezing snow. But when I reached the top and I looked down and I came down the mountain, I was changed. And I've been changed for the better. Everything that is good in my life comes as a result of that tragedy that I went through. We also lost a baby in 1981, So we have a son who's an elementary school principal in Tacoma here in Washington, but it changed me because I understand tragedy, I understand grief, I understand what people are going through, and I'm more compassionate, more able to identify with what people are going through.
Well, wow, but at what a price! I mean, you really feel like you're somehow changed for the better. That's incredible, Mike.
Yeah. So, as far as the dogs in heaven go, I was a canine handler for 18 years. I had three different dogs, and I lost my second dog as a result of a merger between two agencies. The Department of Wildlife and the Department of Fisheries came together, and a new administration came in and said, dog program, we're not going to have a dog program. And my dog was trained for human scent, tracking human scent, for finding deer and elk meat, and which a lot of people use drug dogs. Well, finding meat is like kindergarten for them. And so I made some really good cases over my career using a police dog. But when I actually had to give up my dog, they said, you can't carry your dog in your patrol car anymore. And it almost killed me, and it did kill him, because I had to give him away. I couldn't keep him. A police dog wasn't a pet. It's a working dog, and I thought it was just a tragedy to make him a pet when he was such an incredible working dog. And so I gave him away to another handler, and he died about 6 months later of stomach torsion, which I believe could be stress induced. What happens is their stomach flips over, and so. I know why he died, because it almost killed me, but it brought me to my knees. It was 1994, 1 month after I got the news that the canine program was terminated. I was in my patrol car, and I heard this whisper that said, "Don't let your ego get in the way of your being." And I thought, "Wow, that's wonder how I thought of that or where that came from." I remembered back 13 years before when we lost our son. I prayed that God would heal him, and that we would have this son. And I heard him, this whisper said, "He's not yours, he's mine." And I said, "I know, but I want him for me, and if you give me the son, I'll give you my life, because I've never done that." And he died the following morning, and I just kind of walked away from God, pretty much. But I had some horrendous things happen. I got assaulted at work with a 300 Magnum, and got sued for false arrest, and then I lost my police dog, and but it was all for a greater purpose, to bring me to my knees. And so when I heard that whisper, I said, "Oh, it's the same voice." And I said, "Well, what? Tell me about this, Lord. If this is you, I don't understand." And he said, "You've paid some dues in your life to get where you are, and you wear that on your shirt sleeve. Don't let your dues get in the way of what you could become." And I just became a believer. I knew that wasn't me. I knew that was God, and it absolutely turned my life upside down.
But how did you interpret that? What did that mean about the dues?
Don't let everything that you have paid in your life, everything that you've put in your life, is you're proud of what you have done. And don't let what you have done and your pride get in the way of what you could become.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're talking with Mike Neal. He's a senior chaplain in Washington State, works with the Washington State Police and also with Fish and Wildlife. So, Mike, explain, why would in particular, Fish and Wildlife folks, why would they need a chaplain?
Good question. Somebody asked me, "Would you do last rites to roadkills?" And I said, it is. It's my favorite thing to do. I love, go on these calls. There's a roadkill. We go out, we do the last rites. But the problem with doing them is that Fish and Wildlife doesn't employ any animals. All they employ is people, and they have families, and they have tragedy in their life. They get assaulted at work. They see things other people and society don't see because they're there. They're backing up other law enforcement agencies. They're out in the middle of nowhere, often behind locked gates with no backup, all by themselves. And so they have all these tragedies in their life, and that's what we focus on. I love to do last rites for roadkills. I just don't have time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How often do you get, I guess, deployed with the state police?
Well, we have, our program is now 3.5 years old. We have 17 chaplains across the state that serve Washington State Patrol officers or troopers and fish and wildlife officers. So there's about 300 officers that we're dealing with statewide. And we get deployed a lot. We do all the death notifications for the state police on highway fatalities, and then we do ride-alongs with officers and build friendships and help people get the rocks out of their pack.
And you've had to do those terrible notification visits too. Talk about that.
Well, that's not the fun part of the job. Oftentimes it's in the middle of the night, and you're getting people out of bed, and you're greeting them at the door. You're with probably either another trooper or two, and you have to gather the family and give them the news that their 16-year-old son has just been killed on the highway. I've done lots of them, and every one of them is just a horrendous, just horrendous. And so it's not a fun thing, but it's very, very rewarding.
So how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that and keep yourself together?
Well, I have an incredible perspective about life and death. And I really believe that a person cannot really deal with life until they're able to deal with death, until they're able to have a healthy understanding and a healthy perspective about what death is. And so I have that incredible understanding about life and death. Mark, you're dealing with this right now in your home. You had to put Buddy down, and then you're dealing with another issue in your home. So my heart goes out to you. But for me personally, I guess that's how I'm able to function. That's how I'm able to walk with people in their deepest, darkest hour.
Mm-hmm. This question about animals and whether they have a soul and whether or not where they go. So how did you even research this?
Well, I use the Bible for authority because I think it really is the ultimate authority. I mean, everybody has different thoughts about that. But for me, I am a student of the Bible, and I had always heard that animals don't have a soul. I researched it and found that it's actually was one of the Nicene councils that voted on like around 300 and said, no, animals don't have a soul.
Okay.
But it's been a tradition passed down for thousands of years in the Christian church. There's other people that have tried to answer the question, well, I don't know, that's, above my pay grade, or, if you need an animal to make you happy in heaven, then God will give you one. But the fact is, the scriptures are all full. If you just look, in Job, it says, ask the animals, and they will teach you, for which of these does not know the hand of God has done all this? So I began to believe that animals have faith in God, and it's the kind of faith that God does not want animals to share with us, because as people, we're made in God's image, we're held to a higher level of accountability. We actually have a choice about whether or not God exists, where animals don't. Animals just believe that they just know that God exists, but they are not able to share that with us, because if they could, I think it would take away our choice. So also it says in Hebrews, it says that Christ is the appointed heir of all things. Well, heir to what? Does he want my house when I pass away? Does he want my truck? No. He wants all of the heavenly things that God put here on earth, is all of his creation. And that really is how God, everything that goes to heaven has to go through a period of suffering, because suffering may be the greatest gift that God has. And we hate suffering. We look at suffering and say, "Nah, for me, no one should have to suffer."
Mm-hmm.
But God sees suffering in a whole different way than we do. He sees behind the curtain. Look, he even willed his own son to go through suffering and die on a cross for you and me, so that we would be able to go. But animals have a free pass because they didn't fall in the Garden of Eden. They're not held accountable for their sin. They are innocent, and God's not going to destroy something innocent. He's not going to destroy something so beautiful that he created. He is an eternal God. He has an eternal purpose. He has a purpose for every creature here on earth, and I believe that we look at who God is and what he is.
What about
the... Absolutely.
What about the serpent? What about the snake in the Garden of Eden, Mike?
I think all creation is going to get a different... you're talking the Satan?
Yeah.
The serpent? Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think originally in the Garden of Eden that, Satan may have been something different. He may have been a creature. I don't think you can look at any creature today and say, well, that's Satan. I think they're innocent. The scripture does say that animals will have to give an account. So I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to give an account.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but as far as them being eternal, them having an eternal soul, I don't know if they have a soul like humans, because we're made differently in God's image. But as far as having an eternal spirit, and look, you look in your dog's eye, you tell me there isn't a being in there. You tell me that this animal, he experiences life, he experiences the fear of death. They love you more than you love yourself. A dog has unconditional love, and if you look at the scripture, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So just look at the words. Look at God, G-O-D, and then look at the word D-O-G. It's backwards because it's a reflection mm-hmm. of the kind of love that God wants to have with you, that God has with you, and it's the kind of love that he wants you to have with him.
Is it right to put animals down?
Well, I think it is, and... You know, it goes back to, you know, if it wasn't, then maybe we shouldn't go to a doctor either, right? To try to overcome sickness or take chemo or any of that sort of thing. You know, is it man who heals us, or is it God who heals us? Is there a right time to put your dog down? I think so. When your dog's not having any more fun,
mm-hmm.
And do we want to spare them from suffering? I think so. Yeah, I've had to put dogs down rather than just watch them, you know, slowly go through this dying process. It could take weeks when you know where they're going, and you just kind of help them along. I think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you believe in reincarnation? Do you think your daughter's going to come back?
No. No, I think she's in a place so incredible that even if she could come back, she would say no. Look, even if I said, look, we could undo everything that's been done in my life for the last 8 years, and then she could come back, I would say no. Because I would not want to undo all of the good, all of the things that have happened as a result of her passing. she is in a better place. And it's a finger snap in the face of eternity that I will see her again and I will be with her forever. And it's going to be the most incredible thing. There's going to be this place is filled with God's creation. And he's made their life shorter so that he can get more of them in there than people. I saw, how much time do we have here?
Okay, we got time. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was went to a chaplain's memorial service down on the coast of Washington State, and I was down on the beach and I saw these birds, and I thought, wow, look at all those birds. I got to go get my camera, so I ran to my hotel, grabbed the camera, and came back down on the beach. And you couldn't drive down there. It was like a quarter mile down the beach. I ran down the beach, and I got in the middle of 500,000 birds in a feeding frenzy. And I just was at the point of writing my sequel to my novel, which I just finished. And there's a vision of heaven. And I just thought, wow, it's so weird that God put me in this place. I've never seen 500,000 birds before. I took some pictures. You can see them if you go to my Facebook page, Mike Neal. You can see these pictures that I posted on of all these birds. But it was a feeding frenzy on surf smelt. And I've seen pelicans off Washington coast before, no more than six or at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw thousands of pelicans in the surf and thousands of seagulls. And it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime event for me because I was a fish and wildlife officer for 30 years. I've never seen anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you interpret from that?
I interpreted that when we get to heaven, I mean, here in on Earth, you know, we see an occasional bird or seal or you know, deer, and we're in awe when we see animals. In heaven, it's going to be such an incredible thing with all these animals in heaven. They say, well, there's no animals in heaven. Who says that? Well, the Bible does. The Bible says when John in Revelation, he went to heaven and saw and he heard all the creatures in heaven singing praises to God. There's horses, they talk about the wolf will lay down with the lamb. And so there's lots of references to animals being in heaven in the Bible.
I had a listener who had emailed a couple of questions in. Two questions. Are you vegan?
No. No. I'm a meat eater. I've been a hunter my whole life. In fact, my novel that I wrote, The Miracle of Africa, is a story about hunting animals in Africa and the adventure of it, and about hunting lions and elephants and big game. It's a story. It's a love story about a guy and his wife in 1911, and they go on safari, and he finds the miracle of Africa. So, yeah, I've been hunting my whole life.
And obviously, I think the question is, you're okay with that, I mean, seeming contradiction here, that you revere animals and hunt and eat them.
Right. You know, life is about perspective. It's about what you worship and what you love the most. I mean, I think people can get stuck in worshiping animals, and when really, you know, we should be worshiping God. And put everything else in a healthy perspective, because that's what really life is. Life is about a healthy perspective.
Mm-hmm. The other question, why are so many animals sacrificed in the Bible?
Well, because they had to, it was the blood of animals that covered sin, but it was Christ's sacrifice once and for all that a Christian is covered by the blood of Christ, and that blood of Christ covers all of the all the evils that come from our flesh.
Let's go to the phone. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? Mike?
Yeah?
Did I interrupt you?
No.
All right. Let's go to Colchester. Joel, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Enjoying the conversation. This just popped into my mind. I remember watching on 60 Minutes Andy Rooney in one of his final commentaries before he passed on. And he asked the question rhetorically, do dogs go to heaven? And then he immediately answered his own question by saying, well, if they don't, I want it known that I want to go where dogs go.
I tend
to agree with him.
Yeah, me too. I am a dog guy. I've had 11 dogs in my life, in our adult life. In fact, I had so many dogs that I actually dogged my wife out. We had our last dog, and we don't get to have another one. And it's really hard, but I understand. We built a new house with wood floors, and she said no. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your work. I'm enjoying today's program.
Thanks for your call. Senior Chaplain Mike Neal, we've been speaking with. He works with the Washington State Police and also the Washington equivalent of Fish and Wildlife Department, which we have back here. Mike, do all states have chaplains?
I think pretty much across the state, across the United States, they do. Because it's becoming... across the United States, becoming a very well-known thing that either police or fire need a chaplain because they run into so many tragedies, and the officers are put through so many tragedies. I mean, imagine, you know, what these troopers have to see, these grinders on the state's highways, and local police that are out there dealing with suicides, and it's just horrendous what officers have to see, and every time they go through this stuff, they throw another rock in their pack, and the pack just begins to get heavier and heavier and heavier, and there's no way to get the rocks out because they can't tell their spouse or their friends that they're going through this horrible thing. They can't tell their sergeant or their lieutenant or their captain that they're not sure they can handle the job anymore because they're out there carrying a gun.
Yeah.
So a lot of them live in fear because they're terrified that the pack is getting so heavy after 20, 25 years, but there's nowhere to turn to try to help them get it out. And the reason that a chaplain is ordained is because we have enjoy the same confidentiality that attorney-client or a doctor-patient does.
Right. Thank you for your time this morning. Good luck in your efforts.
Okay, all right. Well, you can visit me at mikeneal.org. You can see my novel. You can like me on Facebook, Mike Neal. It's N-E-I-L. So... gosh, Mark, thanks for having me on. All the best to you.
And thanks for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Neal is the senior chaplain with the Washington State Police Department and also the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Department. As you heard him mention, he's also a novelist and the owner of 11 dogs at one point. Not all at the same time. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with the animal kingdom this morning. We're going to chat about white nose syndrome that's afflicted bats. We're going to head over to Albany and talk with an expert over there. Back after this.
At 802 Honda, we're not only the fastest-growing Honda dealership in Vermont, we're also the number one volume dealer of certified Hondas. Hi, this is Bentley and Dave. In October, customers get 3 great offers on our certified pre-owned Hondas.
Every certified Honda will be equipped with a hands-free cradle for your cell phone because it is the law. Every certified pre-owned Honda will also be eligible for 1.9% financing for up to 60 months. And when you finance at 1.9, you'll have no payments until January of 2015. You will love our low-pressure sales approach.
And you'll be back because of our top-ranked service department.
802 Honda's certified pre-owned sales event. Hands-free cell phone cradle with every purchase. 1.9% financing up to 60 months. And no payments until next year. So click on 802honda.com for details. Call 844-802-HONDA or drive I-89 to exit 7 for less than 1 minute off the interstate.
802 Honda, driving to be Vermont's number one Honda dealer.
Financing for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Travis Romano here from G Stone Motors in Middlebury with the one and only Todd Stone 2014 track champion.
Travis, will you shut up and put that megaphone down?
No, Todd, you had another great race season and people want to hear about this.
I'll tell you what people want to hear about is our huge inventory and great deals.
Well, that's true. We do have a full lot of smoking deals. But your race season...
Full lot? That's an understatement. I can't believe how much inventory we have. We're running out of room.
And there's more coming.
What?
Todd, relax. With this huge inventory and screaming good deals, they won't last long. I mean, where else can you drive two of the best trucks on the market with no pushy salesmen?
You make a great point. Our salesmen are knowledgeable, professional, and not pushy.
That's why our sales have grown over 40%.